Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record, program number 1010, summary analysis of the Habsburg Redux Russiagate PSYOP material. This is being recorded on June 12th of the year 2018. Before coursing into the subject material of the program, which is, as the title indicates, something of a summary analysis of material presented in, for the record, really 1,000, 6, 7, 8, and 9. I want to note that there is an awful lot going on in the world, certainly far more than can be included in a one-hour radio broadcast and the long written descriptions that I put together for each program. Listeners are emphatically encouraged to use those written descriptions because, well, this is a very pedantic format. I don't intend for this to be the last word on anything, certainly not the finished product as such. And I do think that given the fact that an awful lot of what I have to say and an awful lot of what I present is at variance with what the mainstream media and even the so-called progressive sector has to offer up, I think presenting the documentation upon which the lines of inquiry are founded is mandatory under the circumstances. And so in that regard, I put together a very long article-length written description of each program. I also emphatically encourage listeners to subscribe to the comments that are posted on the SpitfireList.com website. Chief among the posters is a contributing editor who posts under the name of Terra Fractlet, P as in Paul, T-E-R-R-A-F-R-A-C-T-Y-L. And again, there is much too much going on to be included in a single program. So those comments and the comments of other expert posters are fundamental. In this program, I am going to attempt to recap and tie together and supplement the admittedly very complex line of inquiry presented in, for the record, 1,000, 6, 7, 8, and 9. In those programs, we reviewed some aspects of a progression of covert operations that have been covered up by various elements, but including and especially Robert Mueller, both when he was a U.S. attorney and when he was head of the FBI under George W. Bush. Those covert operations, many of them anyway, stretched from the Iran-Contra affair through September 11th and on up through some of the elements coursing through the Alpha Fellowship, the Carl Duisberg Society or Gesellschaft, and some of the things that figure in this admittedly very complex analysis that I have presented over the last 4 hours and that I will, for 1 hour shows, and that I will attempt to tie together and supplement in this program as well. It is interesting to me to watch our media floundering around. Admittedly, the way the media have behaved, they are throwing out names and institutions and announcing with great fanfare that Robert Mueller, or Mueller, or Mueller as I call him, has invited this person or has subpoenaed this person. Donald Trump's dealings with Russia for some, the better part of three decades, have been, as much of Donald Trump's efforts have been, an attempt at furthering the Trump brand. Trump has been trying very hard to get a business foothold in Russia, so far without result. The point man for his efforts has been a major U.S. spy named Felix Sater, S-A-T-E-R, who has worked for both FBI and CIA and who was involved in a number of different investigations that track back to Al-Qaeda and September 11th. To date, there has been no successful Trump business venture in Russia. Basically, the point man for Trump's dealings with Russia, again, a U.S. spook, Russian-born but U.S. spook, Felix Sater. I'm sure the FSB, the Russian Intelligence Service, is well aware of Felix Sater, and I don't think it requires much of a reach to see Trump's business efforts in Russia or prospective business efforts in Russia as an attempt at penetrating Russia by elements of Western intelligence, not necessarily involving Donald Trump consciously. Trump wants to spread his brand wherever he can, and he has used his office, the White House, as a vehicle for furthering his business brand. This is not a secret. When the Russians again rebuffed Donald Trump's and have continued to rebuff his business proposals, when it became clear that he might get the Republican nomination, they paid more attention than they had. When it became clear that he was going to be the Republican nominee, they paid more attention still. And when he became president, they paid more attention still. To date, no Trump business ventures in Russia, however. Again, I think Trump's vacillating position vis-a-vis Russia and Putin, and as with just about everything else that Trump has done, you can flip a coin and one day he'll be speaking kindly of Putin, and then the next day he will be lambasting Russia and going on and on. I think that Trump is basically, for himself, interested in establishing a business foothold in Russia. I think behind him, Deutsche Bank and other Bormann-slash-Underground Reich-related elements are interested in pursuing traditional German Ostpolitik. I suspect that is where things will ultimately end up. I think that the Trump regime is basically the swan song of this country. It will take a while for things to play out, but it will not. They will not play out well at all. Ultimately, I think the future of the West will be determined by a German-dominated EU, Western Europe in particular, and I strongly believe that the long-term consequence of what is taking place will be a pan-Earth island or a pan-world island trade federation stretching from Lisbon to Vladivostok. That is already being bandied about by some. I would note that German industry is very much against the sanctions against Russia because it is hurting them. As the U.S., as it becomes clear to people that the U.S. is no longer the guarantor of order that it is perceived as having been in the past, I think that the role will change. And for the record, 944, I referred to the Trump administration as the Caligulization of America. And I think that is an appropriate metaphor. I think this country is going the same route that the Roman Empire went. It is extremely powerful. The Roman Empire did not have nuclear weapons. I think this country is beyond the pale, sadly. And It remains to be seen if we wind up destroying the entire world as we go down. It is to be hoped that we do not. But I do not think that this country is going to survive the forces around Donald Trump. What Donald Trump is not doing is serving as a Russian agent, in addition to the U.S. spook Felix Sater, who has served as Trump's point man in business dealings with Russia. Paul Manafort, the fellow we are being told was a Russian agent and who was Trump's campaign manager, is not a Russian agent at all. I have referred to him as Lee Harvey Manafort. A simple, quick perusal of Manafort's CV reveals to anyone with an intact cerebral cortex that he is, in fact, a U.S. agent of some kind. CIA would be the best bet, but he could be State Department intel or whatever. What he isn't is a Russian agent, having worked with UNIPA in Angola and Jonas Savimbi and Moshe Chombe in the Congo and Marcos in the Philippines. That is not the CV of a, quote, Russian agent, unquote. He is, however, being framed as a Russian agent and left out in the cold a la Ed Wilson and a la Lee Harvey Oswald, hence my dubbing or nicknaming of Paul Manafort as Lee Harvey Manafort. I think that is a good way of understanding what is actually going on. Again, it is a complex concatenation, and what we're being told is, you know, well, Mueller has indicted this person or that person, and people have never heard of these Russian names or these institutions, and so they assume, I think, that something must be there. What is really taking place is a classic case of obscuring the forest with the trees, and what Manafort was doing in Ukraine was working to get Ukraine from the Russian orbit into the Western orbit. There were a number of attempts at doing that. Manafort was working with a group of European politicians called the Habsburg Group. It's interesting to me that our media have widely reported that, but none of them have even considered. They've reported that the group is called the Habsburg Group, about the ruling family of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, but none of them have really gone beyond that and taken a look at, well, what does that mean? Why the Habsburg Group as opposed to, you know, the Breakfast Club or whatever? And, you know, Americans know nothing at this point about the world they live in. The Habsburg Group, I mean, you ask the average American about what Habsburg is, I think you're talking about some sort of deli sandwich. I've talked about Liechtenstein, and we will come back to that. You ask the average American about what is Liechtenstein, and they'll say it's some kind of cheese, right? I mean, they have, Americans understand very little, I'm afraid, at this point in time. And the media have exhibited, again, no investigative curiosity about why the Habsburg Group. That should have been something that occasioned great interest and consequent investigation. And instead, it has just gone by the boards. In this program, or in this series of programs, we have considered the House of Habsburg, its alliances with, on the one hand, the Underground Reich, with elements in Liechtenstein, an offshoot of the House of Habsburg, and elements associated with Western intelligence and going back to the Third Reich and really back to the immediate post-World War I period. In this program, I'm going to sum some of that up as best I can. In the description, there are excerpts of key aspects of the documentation with the appropriate links. All of this has been covered in For the Record 1006, 1007, 1008, and 1009. I'm going to recap parts of it and then supplement that with material from past programs talking about the House of Habsburg and their manipulation of various ethnic groups in what is, for the most part, termed the Third world, including for those people who, those Americans who might feel very smug about our position. Some of the groups, such as the badly oppressed Lakota tribes in the U.S. Plain States and the Native Hawaiians in the Hawaiian Islands, our 50th state, are among the unrepresented nations and peoples who are being actively supported by the Habsburgs and their UNPO, and I suspect ultimately they are seeking to manifest those groups and others as centripetal forces to dissolve the U.S. Do note that the U.S., in my opinion, is targeted by the very elements that we have aligned with, really before World War II, but certainly after World War II. I went into that in a big way in AFA program number 37, and came back to it in a number of shows since, including, for the record, programs 547 through 550 that we will talk about again in this program.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
Now, in 1006 and 1007, we went into some of the elements that figure in the discussion around, quote, Russiagate, unquote, the PSYOP that we are being treated to, and the progressive covert operations and resulting scandals that stretch back to the Iran-Contra affair and run up through September 11th attacks and the Al-Qaeda concatenation. We have talked about the Alpha conglomerate. That figures very prominently in the discussion. Alpha Bank and the Alpha companies are the largest financial and commercial entity in Russia. The available evidence suggests very strongly that this is a Bormann slash underground Reich institution within Russia. The remarkable and deadly Bormann Flight Capital Organization, discussed in For the Record 305, among others, and detailed at length in the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile by Paul Manning, that is available on the SpitfireList.com website for download for free, is, I believe, the dominant element in world affairs today and will ultimately prove to be the decisive element in human affairs on this planet. I think that the future will be theirs. The Alpha Fellowship Program is a subsidiary of the Karl Duisberg Society and its new umbrella organization, Cultural Vistas. When I first began discussing the Alpha Fellowship, it was basically a subsidiary element of the CDS, the Karl Duisberg Society, or Karl Duisberg Gesellschaft. Since that time, in 2011, that merged and became the CDS, that is, became part of the Cultural Vistas organization. It was, as we have seen in various programs, including For the Record 377 and For the Record 456, the CDS that basically shepherded 9/11 hijacker Mohammed Atta around Germany and the U.S. The Crown Alpha subsidiary of the Alpha conglomerate was being targeted by commodities broker Mark Rich to pick up some of his properties. Ultimately, they did not assume the Mark Rich properties. However, another Alpha associate, a Russian oligarch named Mikhail Friedman, last name F-R-I-D-M-A-N, did purchase Mark Rich's assets. And Friedman was, as we looked at in For the Record 930, is an associate of the Alpha Bank. Bill Clinton's last-minute pardon of Mark Rich was investigated by James Comey, who, as head of the FBI, stuck his nose right into the 2016 presidential election and basically handed it, in considerable measure, to Donald Trump with his extraordinarily out-of-the-baseline pronouncements on Hillary Clinton's emails following the investigation that found no criminal wrongdoing, and then his last-minute reopening of the investigation only to announce just before Election Day that, nope, no criminal wrongdoing to be found. I think the remarkable assessment by our media that the Russians interfered in our elections and put Donald Trump into power, aside from the fact that it is blaming the overt ascension of American fascism, the in broad daylight ascension of American fascism, something that had been brewing, well, really one could say back to the end of World War I, but something that really emerged on November 22nd, 1963, with the coup d'etat that centered on President Kennedy's assassination. Now, however, the whole great big Nazi blood fart is too big to ignore, and everybody pretty much knows that the U.S. goose is cooked. So we have to blame it on somebody. Actually, the Trump administration really is simply, for all of its erraticism, for all of its vulgarity, for all of its flatulence, is really implementing the agenda of the Republican Party. For all of the noise being made about Russia, whether it is the courts or the environment or consumer safety or net neutrality, it is spectacular to see the entire Republican libertarian ideological wet dream being made manifest. And I think that as the horror of what is taking place right now sinks in, and that really won't happen for quite a few years until large numbers of Americans are incurably ill and there is no healthcare system to assist them, and the economy collapses, the environment is destroyed, and basically anybody with any brains is going to be getting the hell out of the U.S. I expect at some point in the future a brain drain out of the U.S. because people who want to raise their children in a decent environment and who want to earn a reasonable living are going to get the bloody hell out of the U.S. because this is going to be no place to do it. But it is remarkable to me to blame this, to see this being blamed on Russia. If one can accept that the FBI is a Russian and a vehicle of Russian influence in the U.S. and that James Comey is a Russian agent, well, then perhaps one could accept that. If, however, either of those fanciful concepts is rejected, well, the whole Russia interference thing is a joke. In some of our programs about the high-profile hacks, we had noted how the, quote, evidence, unquote, of Russian hacking just does not add up. It is very much like the painting of Lee Harvey Oswald red. It is an attempt at gaming political perceptions by creating false perceptions made to lead in a false direction. Do note, however, that looming throughout the, quote, Russiagate, unquote, investigation is the Alpha Bank, associated with the Carl Duisberg Gesellschaft. Mark Rich was trying to unload his assets to Alpha Bank. Ultimately, Alpha associate Mikhail Friedman did purchase the Mark Rich assets. Note that during the latter stages of the 2016 presidential campaign, an Alpha Bank server began communicating with a Trump Organization server and a long dormant FBI Twitter account dealing with the Mark Rich pardon, which was overseen by James Comey, came to life and began tweeting away near the end of the campaign. Note again that the evidence suggests that the Alpha Bank is a Russian Borman property. The Alpha Fellowship, something of an MBA program or an intern program for Alpha, basically was a subsidiary and still appears to be, in essence, a subsidiary of the CBS Constellation, the Robert Bosch Foundation, and others of its ilk.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. You can subscribe to the comments posted on the SpitfireList.com website, most of them by a brilliant contributing editor who uses the moniker Terra Fractal, specializing, but by no means exclusively, in economic and financial matters.
We have spoken about Liechtenstein. Liechtenstein is a tiny little country, and no, it is not the cheese. It is a tiny little country in Europe with a population slightly larger than Ohio State. The Ohio State student body is about 30,000 people. Liechtenstein, last time I checked, is 32,000 people. It is a, or was for a time, a constitutional monarchy. Then, when the Progressive Citizens Party under Norbert, N-O-R-B-E-R-T, Seeger, S-A-E-G-E-R, came to power. Norbert Seeger is a Crown Alpha associate. Prince Hans Adam of Liechtenstein became the sole absolute monarch in Europe. He had complete power over the tiny principality of Liechtenstein, all 32,000 people. And in particular, he had control over the courts and any legal investigation. Because the bank Altaqua, which had an unlimited line of credit for an account for Al-Qaeda, was incorporated in Liechtenstein, that made this something that happened in early 2001 central to the investigation of what was to take place later that year, namely the September 11th attacks. When Crown Alpha's Norbert Seeger of the Liechtenstein Progressive Citizens Party made Hans Adam II of Liechtenstein the only absolute monarch in Europe and gave him control over the courts and judicial investigations, that put Hans Adam in the position of being able to interdict any legal investigation of the Bank Altaqua, and consequently, the September 11th attacks. Bear in mind that Felix Sater, point man for the Trump dealings in Russia, also very much involved with various things leading in the direction of September 11th and Al-Qaeda. One of the subsidiary organizations, or one of the subsidiaries of the Altaqua complex, is the Aesop Trust, which had links to the ruling family of Liechtenstein. A member of the ruling family had been involved with Aesop Trust, and the bank of the House of Liechtenstein had dealings with the Aesop Trust as well. Bear in mind that the House of Liechtenstein is, as we have seen, something of an annex to the House of Habsburg. Robert Mueller, when he was head of the FBI, helped to derail the Operation Green Quest raids, which would have led in the direction of Altaqua. March 20th, 2002, those raids took place in a number of institutions and individuals associated with Grover Norquist and Karl Rove's Islamic Free Market Institute were targeted and busted. Then the operating director of Grover Norquist's Islamic Free Institute, Talat Otman, a member of the board of directors of Arbusto Energy and Harkin Energy, George W. Bush's energy venture, interceded on behalf of the individuals and institutions raided on March 20th of 2002, interceded with then-Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill. Much of the raid was done by the Secret Service, which is part of the Treasury Department. O'Neill was fired later in 2002. Note that the FBI also participated in those raids, and ultimately the Operation Green Quest investigation went no place. A fellow named Ali bin Musalim had headed up the account in the bank Altaqua for Al-Qaeda, which had an unlimited line of credit. He was found dead in his Geneva, Switzerland apartment about a month after this became public. Interestingly, he had been under indictment in the U.S. in 1983 for having worked to corner the silver market. That placed him in league with Nelson Bunker Hunt and members of the Hunt family. So again, note the House of Liechtenstein, a subsidiary of the House of Habsburg. Note that the house of Liechtenstein, and Liechtenstein proper has many links to Alpha and to things coursing through the September 11th investigation. Now, again, the Habsburg Group was the group of European politicians that were working with Lee Harvey Manafort, or Paul Manafort, if you wish, to not subvert the U.S. on behalf of Russia, but to move Ukraine from the Western orbit, from the Russian orbit, into the Western orbit. And again, although our media dutifully reported that Manafort was working with the Habsburg Group, they, and that the Habsburg reference was to the ruling house of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, they did no investigation whatsoever. And again, you talk about Habsburg to the average American, they're going to think you're talking about a deli sandwich, just as they're going to think that Liechtenstein refers to a cheese. In fact, the Habsburgs have been very active in European politics long after the Austro-Hungarian Empire collapsed. And in fact, as we will review in a minute, that goes back, the Habsburg activism in Europe goes back to the immediate post-World War I period, when the Wilson administration in the U.S. enlisted the Habsburgs as part of an anti-Soviet, anti-Bolshevik alliance in Europe. That Habsburg-Western Intel alliance deepened during and after World War II, when the House of Habsburg, or elements thereof, were allied with the Third Reich and began or undertook a mediative, or a media, they basically undertook to mediate on behalf of the SS Foreign Intelligence Service under Walther Schellenberg, with then Baron OSS representative Alan Dulles, a former, not a former, but a key operative of the Sullivan and Cromwell law firm. Now, reviewing, in addition to the Aesop Trust, the Bank Alpacua, Norbert Seeger, Crown Alpha, Mikhail Friedman, the communication between a Trump server and the Alpha Bank server, and all of the links that I have spoken about. There are many links between the Habsburgs and elements working on behalf of the West against the former Soviet Union. Now, one of the people who has been very active on behalf of the House of Habsburg is Karl von Habsburg, who is the head of the UNPO, and also Georg von Habsburg. Reviewing one of the pieces of information that we spoke about in For the Record 1008. The most striking example of the trend is the appointment, that is, the resuscitation of the Habsburgs. The most striking example of the trend is the appointment this week of Georg von Habsburg, the 32-year-old grandson of Emperor Karl I, to the position of Hungary's ambassador for European integration. In neighboring Austria, the traditional heart of Habsburg power, Georg's brother Karl, 35, was recently elected to represent the country in the European Parliament. In addition to this, he serves as the president of the Austrian branch of the Pan-European Movement. Pan-Europeanism and the integration of Ukraine, a very important strategic part of Europe, into a pan-European confederation and out of the Russian sphere of influence is front and center here. That's what Manafort was working on. That is what the Habsburgs have been working on, and I think it requires no substantive extrapolation to see the naming of the group of European politicians with whom Manafort was working to move Ukraine from the Russian into the Western orbit as the Habsburg Group. Another princess with about 15 different names has been serving as Georgia's ambassador to Germany. The heirs to the Habsburg emperors helped speed the downfall of this from a linked article that we looked at in For the Record 1008 and other programs. The heirs to the Habsburg emperors helped speed the downfall of the Soviet Empire particularly by arranging the cross-border exodus from Hungary to Austria in the summer of 1989 that punched the first big hole in the Iron Curtain. Again, the Habsburgs, very much active in the anti-Soviet, or even earlier, lexicon anti-Bolshevik alliance that was put together at the end of World War I and that deepened during and after World War II. Again, note that Mikhail Saakashvili, who was very much an advocate of this Habsburg princess, whose name I'm not going to attempt, about 15 different names, she became Georgia's ambassador to Germany. Although Mikhail Saakashvili is under indictment in Georgia and can't return there, that didn't stop him from becoming the governor of the Ukrainian province of Odessa. Again, note the role of the Habsburgs here. The heirs to the Habsburg emperors helped speed the downfall of the Soviet Empire, particularly by arranging the cross-border exodus from Hungary to Austria in the summer of 1989 that punched the first big hole in the Iron Curtain. Another key Habsburg member, Wilhelm von Habsburg, was very active in Ukraine and ultimately was put to death by the Soviets after World War II, where he was agitating against the former Soviet Union. Again, the links for all of these articles are in the description for the Record 1010, which will become available presently. A military officer by training, Wilhelm von Habsburg supported Ukraine's independence struggle during World War I. He fought with Ukrainian troops against the Russians and had schemed and cajoled a myriad of politicians to support his monarchical aspirations. Almost until his death at the hands of the Soviets in 1948, he was snatched off the streets of Vienna and transported to a prison in Kiev for working as an agent against the Soviet Union. Wilhelm believed this slice of the family's empire could be his. And a radio station in Ukraine post-Euromaidan is being operated by Karl von Habsburg, again, the heir to the House of Habsburg. Another linked article. Since the 20th of January, this would be 2015, a truly European radio station, again, though a truly European radio station, the idea being to incorporate Ukraine into a pan-European federation. Since January 20th of 2015, a truly European radio station is broadcasting in Ukraine. Its main sponsor, Karl Habsburg Lothringen, told Gear Active in an exclusive interview. Karl Habsburg Lothringen is an Austrian politician and head of the House of Habsburg. Since 1986, he has served as president of the Austrian branch of the Pan-European Union. When Manafort's efforts at persuading basically teasing Ukraine from the Russian orbit into the Western orbit collapsed with the rejection by Ukraine of the EU Association Agreement, which, by the way, I was informed by a listener, would necessarily have involved military cooperation. When that failed, the plan to move Ukraine from the Russian orbit into the Western orbit became Plan B or Plan OUNB, when the OUNB, World War II-era fascist successor organizations that had long been nurtured in U.S. and German intelligence, the Associated Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, and the Republican Party of the U.S., they were projected back into power in Ukraine, or really restored to power. They came back to power during the Orange Revolution of Viktor Yushchenko, one of the color revolutions. They came back to power, and in this regard, this was the fulfillment of an association that took place since 1967, in which Otto von Habsburg, the heir to the House of Habsburg before Karl von Habsburg, formed the European Freedom Council with Jaroslav Stetsko. Jaroslav Stetsko was the wartime head of the Ukrainian Nazi collaborationist government that implemented Nazi ethnic cleansing in Ukraine during World War II. Stetsko's early 1980s secretary, Roman Zvorich, became the Minister of Justice, the equivalent of our Attorney General under the Yushchenko government and both Tymoshenko governments in Ukraine. He then became an advisor to Petro Poroshenko and is now the spokesperson for the Nazi Azov Battalion as well. Of the association between Yaroslav Stetsko and Otto von Habsburg, the Habsburg monarchy helped guide the leadership in their former possessions. The Freedom Council was formed by Otto von Habsburg and Yaroslav Stetsko at a conference in Munich on June 30th through July 2nd of 1967 as a coordinating body for the organizations fighting communism in Europe. His Royal Highness Emperor Otto von Habsburg was honorary chairman of the European Freedom Council based in Munich during the 1980s and allied to the anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations, the ABN. I would add, is a renaming of the Committee of Subjugated Nations, so named and put together by Adolf Hitler in 1943. It was a coalition of Eastern European and Central European fascist groups that were allies of the Third Reich, the Romanian Iron Guard, the Bulgarian National Front, the Hungarian Arrow Cross, the Slovakian Linka Party, the Croatian Ustashi, and others. Were part of the Committee of Subjugated Nations, later the Anti-Bolshevik Bloc of Nations. They worked very closely with CIA, with BND, German Intel, the final incarnation of the Gehlen Organization, and ultimately became a key part of the Republican Party.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
Now, reviewing briefly some of what we spoke about in connection with Lee Harvey Manafort. Again, not a Russian agent at all, but almost certainly a U.S. agent who was working not to subvert the U.S. on behalf of Russia, but to move Ukraine from the Russian into the Western/pan-European orbit. And again, the links for these articles, all of which were spoken about in 1006, 1007, and 1008, and 1009, they are all in the description for 1010, which will become available shortly after the recording of this program. Reviewing again. A second Washington lobbying firm hired by Paul Manafort, the Podesta Group, also said last year it had, quote, arranged meetings and media opportunities, unquote, for visiting European leaders regarding Ukraine starting in 2012, including for Mr. Gusenbauer of Austria, Mr. Prodi of Italy, and two former presidents, Alexander Kwasniewski of Poland and Viktor A. Yushchenko of Ukraine. The group of senior politicians, according to the indictment, was informally called the Habsburg Group after the Austro-Hungarian dynasty, the Habsburgs. Again, our media showed, really, I don't know, other countries' media showed any curiosity at all, but even though they all identified Habsburg as having been named after the Austro-Hungarian dynasty, none of them pursued that. Again, they might as well have been called the Breakfast Club or the Gas House Gang. I mean, who knows? But no curiosity whatsoever. And again, the average American, talk about Habsburg, I think you're talking about a deli sandwich. You have no idea what people were talking, what that means, and certainly they are completely unaware of the deep parapolitical significance of the Habsburgs, which we have gone into and which we will review some more. Alex van der Zwaan was charged with lying to the FBI about his contacts with Rick Gates, who served as a top official of President Trump's campaign and a longtime business partner of former campaign manager, of former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, or as I call him, Lee Harvey Manafort. Based in London, Van der Zwaan, that's V-A-N, space B-E-R, capital Z-W-A-A-N as in Nancy, worked for the law firm Skadden, Arps, Slate, Marr, and Sloan, which worked with Manafort and Gates when they served as political consultants in Ukraine. Van der Zwaan is the son of German or Hermann G-E-R-M-A-N Khan, K-H-A-N, a billionaire and an owner of Alpha Group, Russia's largest financial and industrial financial group. Like the Manafort and Gates charges, Van der Zwaan's case is rooted in Ukraine, where Manafort worked as an international political consultant starting in 2005. And again, note that the point man for Trump's dealings with Russia was Felix Sater, and that he basically was a long-standing U.S. spy. Reviewing an article from BuzzFeed that we accessed extensively in For the Record, I believe that was 1008, Sater reported back to the intelligence agencies on the results of coalition bombings in Afghanistan, kills on the battlefield, the financial networks behind the 9/11 bombers, and other Al-Qaeda members worldwide, and even the identity of a New Mexico company believed to be laundering terror funds for the U.S. This puts Sater right in the middle of the Operation Green Quest investigation that was covered up by Robert Mueller, and had that opened up, it would have led to things like the Carl Duisberg Society and the other related elements. The foundation of the Habsburg U.S. intelligence underground Reich concatenation dates to the immediate aftermath of World War I. From the old boys by Burton Hearst, something we talked about in For the Record 1009, the Habsburgs would desert Germany in return for an American commitment, subsidized by the United States, which brought over to Europe the president's close advisor, Professor George D. Herron, H-E-R-R-O-N, to import Wilson's rifle imprimatur. This updated Habsburg sovereignty must commit in advance to eradicating the Bolsheviks. A revitalized Austro-Hungarian buffer zone to fend off Soviet penetration of the Balkans turned into a lifelong chimera for Dulles and spurred his devotion over the many years to some manner of Danubian federation. Unquote. That ultimately transitioned through the World War II period, and even after the fall of the Soviet Union, it became, instead of an anti-Soviet, an anti-Russian gambit, and serving to certainly block Russia off from association with Europe. Ultimately, I think the goal is to split up Russia, and in particular, to tease away the oil-producing element of areas of Russia in the Caucasus, which are largely of Islamic population. In AFA program number 37, we spoke about the Christian West concept. The Christian West is an idea. Basically, it's a term we used. The idea was to take a Hitlerless Reich and to graft it on to the Western Allies as part of an anti-Soviet alliance. This did not take place during the actual combat of World War II, but it basically did take place in the post-World War II period. The massive AFA 37 goes into that at some length. For the Record 1009, we spoke about Prince von Hohenlohe. Egon von Hohenlohe, he married into the Habsburg family, and he resided in and traveled on a passport, diplomatic passport for Liechtenstein, and he served as an intermediary between the SS Intelligence Service, Amt 6 of the SD, the Sicherheitsdienst, under Walter Schellenberg. And von Hohenlohe was negotiating with Alan Dulles as a representative of the SS. from the Old Boys again. We went into this at much greater length in For the Record 1009. Pronouncements alternated with rich meals in a Liechtenstein chateau. Hohenlohe bit by bit exposed his quasi-official status as a spokesman for SS elements within the German government, who now looked beyond the wild men in control. What casts a longer shadow is the outline of Allen's geopolitical ideas. The peace he has in mind, Dulles indicates, must avoid the excesses of Versailles and permit the expanded German polity to survive, Austria included, and possibly at least a section of Czechoslovakia, while excluding all thought of, quote, victors and vanquished as a factor of order and progress. The resultant Greater Germany, unquote, would backstop the formation of a cordon sanitaire against Bolshevism and Pan-Slavism through the eastward enlargement of Poland and the preservation of a strong Hungary. This federal Greater Germany, similar to the United States, with an associated Danube Confederation, would be the best guarantee of order and progress in Central and Eastern Europe. Basically, the SS, Allen Dulles, and Prince von Hohenlohe of the House of Habsburg residing in and traveling on the passport of Liechtenstein, again, the House of Liechtenstein, an annex to the House of Habsburg, serving as the diplomatic representative with Allen Dulles of Walter Schellenberg in charge of foreign intel for the Nazi SS. And also, from the Old Boys, in turn, from the biography of Canaris by Heinz Hoene, a respected German author, an Abwehr officer, Abwehr was German military intelligence, F. Justus, J-U-S-T-U-S, von Einem, E-I-N-E-M, later claimed to have sat in on a carefully prepared meeting at Santander in Spain in the summer of 1943, during which both Menzies and Donovan agreed to Christian Luster terms as recapitulated by Canaris personally. As this exchange occurred, Donovan kept it quiet. Doing my best to sum up what we looked at in 1006, 7, 8, and 9, in a number of programs, including, for the record, 550 and also 635 and 636, we took a look at the Unrepresented Nations and People's Organization, or UNPO, that was headed up by Karl von Habsburg, and it represents itself as an organization that champions various ethnic groups, in particular in what we call the Third World, and champions their independence and their political validity, independence, and human rights, etc. It actually appears to be a vehicle for covert operation, using various ethnic peoples as agents of agitation in countries that had incorporated those peoples during periods of imperial expansion. I would note that Prince Hans Adam II was very active, again, of Liechtenstein, the House of Liechtenstein, an annex to the House of Habsburg, has been very active in some of the areas we're going to talk about. In 2000, he made the gift to Princeton University, and this is linked in the description for this program, a $12 million gift to Princeton from Prince Hans Adam II of Liechtenstein, who created the Liechtenstein Institute on Self-Determination. The gift will expand the university's existing Liechtenstein research program on self-determination, which also has been funded by Prince Hans Adam II. It will enable Princeton faculty, students, and outside experts to expand their work and embark on wide-ranging new projects in places such as Kosovo, Kashmir, and Chechnya. Al-Qaeda and the Bank al-Taqwa, by the way, active in all of those places, particularly Kosovo and Chechnya. What is Prince Hans Adam, again, presiding over a nation slightly larger than the student body of Ohio State University, what in bloody hell is he doing supporting people, you know, in Kosovo and Chechnya, you would think that he would be a little bit more concerned with his own principality, and yet he is a major player in these affairs. I would note that some of the peoples involved here, such as the Uyghurs from Xinjiang province in China, a Turkophone people that have long been a focal point of agitation by the Pan-Turkist movement, the Grey Wolves, and the UNPO, they have been championed by the UNPO, headed up by Karl von Habsburg, who in turn is married to Francesca Thyssen Bornemisza. Do note that the UNPO, in addition to supporting the Uyghurs, in addition to supporting people in Kosovo and Chechnya, it counts the secession of Kosovo as among its earliest successes. The UNPO champions the Lakota in the U.S. and the Native Hawaiian people as well. The Lakota have been thoroughly screwed by the U.S. It is my opinion that their real interest in the Lakota is, A, to get ultimately provide some sort of quasi-autonomous status for the Lakota so that international oil companies can get their hands on the Bakken oil shale territory, which underlies the Lakota. I think also the UNPO would love to see the Lakota become the Palestinians of America, for them to be brutalized violently so they can point their finger at the U.S. and hasten the discreditation and ultimately disintegration of the U.S. I would note that the UNPO champions the Dalai Lama and people at the Uyghurs, Michael Van Wolf of Golden Gate University, and a fellow named Erkin Alpekin, a founder of the UNPO, again, very active on behalf of the Uyghurs, very active on behalf of the Dalai Lama and the Tibetans. The Dalai Lama himself, a longtime associate of the CIA, had an SS man, Heinrich Harrer, for a tutor, has long been associated with a guy named Bruno Begay, an SS war criminal. We talked about that in numerous shows. And note that the Dalai Lama, according to what we looked at in For the Record 547, prays to a Mongolian war god on a daily basis, according to some of his close aides. The UNPO has recently been championing the Afrikaners as well. The Afrikaners were, of course, the white people who implemented the apartheid regime in the former South Africa. The embrace of the Afrikaners by the UNPO, I think, really exemplifies the true focus of the organization. Although they like to champion the rights of third world peoples, whether it is the Lakota in the U.S. or the Uyghurs in China or people in Chechnya, in particular peoples who are under the stewardship of a larger country, targeted ultimately, I believe, for destabilization and breaking up, whether it's Russia or the U.S. I think the UNPO's championing of the Afrikaners is altogether revealing. And by the way, my commentary should not be misunderstood as denigrating either the Lakota or any of the groups. Hawaiians, for example, another of the people whose autonomous rights are being championed by the UNPO. Hawaii was actually the very first U.S. Imperial expansion, or the first destabilization of a foreign government. John Watson Foster, the grandfather of John Foster and Allen Dulles, and the Secretary of State of Benjamin Harrison, implemented the destabilization of the government of Queen Liliuokalani in Hawaii, and after her alleged oppression of American nationals in Hawaii, ultimately her government was destabilized and deposed. So the history of U.S. stewardship over Hawaii actually goes back to and is inextricably linked with the power nexus we have been looking at in connection with the Dulles family, Sullivan and Cromwell et al. Again, this is a very complex series of relationships, please use the written description and the links in there, and in particular, examine some of the material in other shows. For example, if what I'm talking about with the Dalai Lama sounds like, what, are you kidding me? There is a lot of documentation that, in fact, the Dalai Lama is other than he has been represented as being, but you will have to use the written description for this program. This concludes For the Record Program 1010, Summary Analysis of the Habsburg Redux, Russiagate, PSYOP Material. This is being recorded on June 12th of the year 2018. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.